Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, we will we're talking about in ministry to the gifts that God gave to the body of Christ, that we may be a mature body to get the work done that Jesus has given us to do. Amen. And we started last week, and it says, from the thought we're still running along, running that vein, teaching them to observe all things. And I said in the beginning of sharing that with you, somebody said that the pastor office is to oversee the flock, and function in that office sort of like a general practitioner. He or she doesn't just specialize in one area, but oversee the whole thing. And so we want to look at these ministry gifts. I see so much going on in the few years I've been around. I've been around for a few years. And when I was younger in the ministry, I heard those that was had been around for a while talked about some of the same thing we're seeing today. And it's so important that the body be mature, grow up and become mature, so we don't be kicked around, pushed around, carried about with everything that come along. And it's amazing how people take the scripture and make them say a lot of things that God didn't say. And that's why it's so important that we mature in the word. And these gifts that we're talking about tonight will always be necessary. Every one of them. Apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher, which we'll read in just a minute. They will always be necessary because they are for the maturing of the saints, for the growth. And if you will go ahead and put that up again, Ephesians chapter 4, we went over it last time. And we're going to go a little further than where we picked up where we left off the last time. I want to go a little further. And members, and you'll see that when you get down to the 16th verse, and then we probably look at the second chapter of Ephesians, the 20th. But right now, let's go to Ephesians 4. And let's just back all the way up to verse 1. I won't just take a lot of time, but we want to get to the whole picture of what he's saying. I find that the book of Ephesians is written to the body, and it has a lot to do about the church, who they are and growing up and becoming functional in the things of God. And reading from the King James, I probably will switch over to some other translation from here and there, but for tonight, and this is, like I said, this is still along the line of teaching believers, saints, you are to be taught to observe all things. And so that's what Jesus said in the 28th chapter of Matthew in his departure. He said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go. And the fact that he said go, he delegated that authority to the church to go. And so he said, Therefore, this is Ephesians 4:1, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with all longsuffering, forbearing one another, in love, notice, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. How many? One body, one Spirit. Even, now watch this, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, that there isn't but one hope. But today we have all kind. Way back in my early days of ministry at that time, it was over 500 different denominations. There's thousands of them now. And some of those that we have been affiliated with and associated with and had interaction with as well. And you hear mixed statement, this faith, that faith, what faith are you? Well, I'm Baptist. Some say I'm Pentecostal. Some say I'm Catholic. Some say I'm charismatic. Others say I'm cruisermatic, you know. In other words, as long as I cruise in and sometimes I see or hear something happen, put a little pressure on me to do something, I cruise right on out, find somewhere else to. But notice what the scripture says here. I read verse 4 once again. There is one body. How many bodies? One body. Jesus is the head of that body. And John wrote in his epistle, he said that as long as the seed remain in you, you cannot sin. And then he went on to say, there are only two families on the earth. I'm paraphrasing. There's only two families on the earth. That's God's family and the devil family. Now you're in one of the families, but you listen to people, you think there's a charismatic family, there's some other kind of family, and this kind of family. But there's only two families. That's the family of the redeemed and the one that's lost. Amen. So he said, one body, one Spirit, even your calling, one hope of your calling, right? One Lord. How many Lords?
One.
But we got Buddhists. We got Hare Krishna. We got Mohammed. And you could go on down the list. There's different people say they are worshiping this fellow, that fellow. Only thing about that, Mohammed and Elijah, Muhammad, and I know you heard of him and other that claim that they something happened and some kind of star appeared and this happened, they started their movement from them. But when you look at reality from biblical truth, there ain't but one man that was raised from the dead. One and only. had a resurrection that was dead. One. Rest of them claim to be whoever they are, they still dead. Their body's still in the grave. I told you in 1998, I went to Israel. And I went in that tomb. You know, if somebody dead, the bones will still be there. You know, bones are, you know, they'll hang around. And you can dig up there. We have archaeology and science and all these people. They are still discovering what? Some kind of bone that's been in the earth for a number of years, right? But in that grave, that Jesus, Joseph, new tomb, in that grave, there's no bones, nothing. Because he got up. He got up. Glory to God. He got up.